Well, hey guys, welcome back to the ASAP. We are so excited to be with you again. You might be thinking, normally I hear Landon's voice when I listen to the ASAP, but now you're hearing Lexus's voice because guess what? I've taken over. Landon's on his honeymoon this week. And so he said, the ASAP's yours this week. And I said, great, I'll be doing some crazy stuff. So what I've done is I've invited my friend Warren onto the podcast.
Hey, howdy, hi.
I've also invited two other friends. You might have just heard them laugh. I brought two students who were on the evangelism panel tonight, Jared.
Hey, y'all.
And Claire.
What's up, dog?
The amount of times that we've tried to start this podcast is literally insane because we just keep laughing. So, you know, welcome to the crazy ride that we're on that is the ASAP tonight. I've just kind of made this into what I wanted it to be. And so we're going to see where it takes us.
Landon really did give up a lot of power.
Landon did give a lot of power up, but I'm, you know, honored. And we're all honored to be here. Also, what is funny is that Warren and Jared are sharing a mic right now, so they have to take turns talking in the mic. Anyway, tonight was so awesome. I loved how Fred just even started the night off with, who are you inviting? And also, like, who invited you into that? And so I thought maybe we could even talk about, like, who has invited us into the faith, because I think that, like, hearing that helps us to realize how easy it can be to invite other people into this thing that we call Christianity. So anyone have any thoughts on who invited you in?
Yeah. So I guess I can go.
Great.
So I always grew up in the church. Like, my mom has always worked at the church that I went to my entire life. Mm-hmm. And so I guess for me, it's family.
Yeah.
Of, like, we consistently showed up and were consistently serving. And they were always inviting me to grow deeper with the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
If you know Wes and Anna Mullins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're so really amazing. They really got in there for me. I was, like, down a whole deity of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pastor's kid. So I was like, ooh, like, I'm so ashamed. And then just felt like telling Nina, and then we met up and she was like, you should be experiencing doubts because then you can know what exactly you believe and why you believe it.
Yeah.
So that was really a turning point in my faith.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think my answer is similar to Jared's. My family also grew up in the church. And I felt just really invited into faith from them and just the way that, I guess, home life was also set up. So. Yeah. Very, very similar to Jared.
Awesome. I think for me, it was a little bit of family, but also, like, mentors in my life. From, like, second grade to seventh grade, I didn't go to a church. My family was kind of, like, church homeless. And so the person who ultimately, like, dragged my butt to church was my mom, because, you know, that's what moms do when they want you to go to church. But I also didn't want to be there. So, like, there was, like, that disconnect. I think that the thing that really invited me in was my youth pastor just, like, literally going to a coffee shop on Tuesdays and being like, hey, if you want to meet me there, just come and hang. And so we literally wouldn't even talk about Jesus that much. Like, we would talk about our lives and, like, what was going on. And then Jesus would just be, like, a part of it. And so that was, like, kind of how I got into the whole faith thing.
Yeah. And shouts out to, like, your youth pastor for, like, consistently doing that.
Yeah.
Even though you, like, Jesus wasn't your main priority there.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's super powerful and something we can definitely learn from is, like, being there, like, when Jesus is on our main focus, like,
yeah,
just being there for people is super important.
Yeah, like, we don't have to talk about the crucifixion to invite people into who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Like, we can talk about our favorite show being Ted Lasso, you know?
Which we did.
Which we did talk about that before we started recording this podcast. Fun fact, Warren is going to be Roy Kent for Halloween. Spoiler alert.
If people watch this tomorrow morning and learn that I'm Roy Kent before the party, like, I might be slightly upset.
We can go back and erase it if you want.
That's fine. We'll just keep it.
Okay, guys. Guess what? Warren's Roy Kent for Halloween.
Makes you feel better. I want to be a Lipton tea bag.
So, Jared, what are you going to be for Halloween?
So, I got my idea from TikTok. Okay. I'm kind of ashamed of it, but it's fine. I saw a news reporter, and he was just going around and asking everyone, like, questions in character. Like, oh, Statue of Liberty, how you feeling today?
I love that guy.
So, right.
Thank you so much.
So, that's what I'm thinking about doing.
That's incredible.
I love it.
I'm going to be a weatherman. So my whole entire core group is being weather. So like they're being all the different kinds of weather.
You're gonna be radiologists, is that what that is?
No.
No.
Meteorologist.
Radiologist is
radiology. That's
radiology is X-rays.
You could also be that if you want.
What is the word now? Meteorologist.
Meteorologist. Yes. Okay. See, you can see where my dyslexia took power in that word that I just said.
See, that the thing is, like, this is even the kind of conversation that seriously could be an evangelism conversation. Yeah, like, literally talking to people about what Halloween costume they're going to be wearing. Like, that is, like, a total way. Even, like, inviting people to the Halloween party. Yeah. Like, it's so, we make it into this huge thing into our heads, but it's really like this simple experience. And so like, maybe you guys can even like speak to that in some way of like, when did you like experience a time of evangelism that like you built it up in your head, but it was actually really simple? Or like, what are like some tips that you have for like those times when you're trying to share? Anything you got?
I'm just going to interject real quick.
Great.
I'm going on top of you, but I guess love like, it. Growing up in like a really conservative church, learning about evangelism, like I feel like it's like, I mean, a huge part of it is like literally going out and like going to spread the gospel, whether that be whatever means it might look like. The mic just got moved in front of my face because, you know, me and Jared are sharing. But no, I just think it was really cool. Some mentor told me like in high school just about how like the biggest way we can evangelize, even whether we recognize it or not, it's just by our daily walk and like receiving the Spirit and having these gifts and the fruits that we bear. Like, that's like one of the coolest and like, I guess, I don't even know if it's prominent, but like just a way we can evangelize without even knowing it. And from those fruits, like maybe someone asks us a question of like why we're acting like this. And then we get like, boom, there's a chance. Let's talk about our faith. Like, this is the way I am. This is why I'm so overjoyed when, I mean, maybe you're walking on campus. That's not usually something you see, as someone just smiling because they're walking, but maybe someone stops and asks.
Yeah. But that's good.
Interjection.
I love it.
What was your question?
My question was basically like, what are ways that you've made it out to be like bigger than it is? Or even just like, what are some tips for like when you're in the moment, like sharing with other people who Jesus is? Like, what has that looked like for you?
I honestly, it was way bigger the further away I was from God. And as the closer I got to him, I really felt like I was just in a partnership with him, and not so me having to like step out of me talking to God for a second to talk to these people, but really me and God going together and trying to show people compassion and just hearing where they're coming from. Once I changed that perspective from I have to know the history and I have to know all of these things so that I can answer their questions right, but changing that to really asking them to fully understand what they're going through has really helped me to not see or to not think of evangelism as this huge production thing that I have to get right.
One of the things I love that you said when you were on the panel was that like, just fall in love with Jesus and like read his word. And then like the joyful obedience is what follows out of that.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying and trying and trying with all your might to be obedient, like it's probably just not going to work in the same way that it works when you're like, I really just love this person, so I want to do what he tells me to do.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Like eventually that, if we build that as a foundation, like obedience, that's going to fall. Like we've tried to be obedient to our parents and then, you know, that
doesn't always work out.
And then like, you can end up resenting them because you're like, no, like I'm my own person. I'm going to have my own way and rules now. So I'm going to follow myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think something for me, like coming into college, was like how people just aren't happy. Like Warren kind of mentioned it. Like people walk around campus and like put headphones in and don't look at anybody and like don't smile and don't say anything.
And you went to a small high school, so like, that's so not what you're used to.
Like I walked down the hall and was like, "Hey, Jennifer, like what's up?" Like I knew everybody. And so I think like one thing for me is like it can be as simple as holding the door for someone. Like I feel like a lot of buildings on campus have two doors, and so I always say thank you twice, and people always laugh. But like, it's really as simple as like a second thank you for holding the door, like can show people the love of Jesus without like explicitly saying like, I'm holding the door for you because I love Jesus. Like they don't, you don't have to say that explicitly, but it's like maybe they'll go home and be like, oh wow, like he was nice. Or like, I try to say hi to people on the elevator. Mm. Like that's weird too. Of like, hey, how's your day? And so it's just like little things like that can make a huge difference. Even like, it's not even something you maybe think about every day.
Yeah. I've even found that like in our regular rhythms of our day, like there's just these things that we do on Thursdays because that's what our class schedule looks like. Mm. So like, I remember even my senior year of college, like I did this thing called office hours where I would go to Willie T Starbucks and I would work there from 1 to 5 on Mondays and Wednesdays and then 1 to 3 on Fridays. And like, you just see the exact same people because that's like people's regular routes that they go on. And so I would sit there like all day long and people would just come through, sit for a little bit, then leave. People would walk by. I like got to know some people who were at the library at the same time as me randomly, just because like we would always be there. And I'd be like, hey, so like, we're always here together. Like, what's your name? And so like, we just had these conversations and like, I have no idea if that meant something to people, but like it meant something to me. And like, we had like great conversations and there were even times that like, I know for a fact that the person behind me was listening to a conversation I was having about Jesus with this person that was in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that they were listening to that. And so it was just like my consistency of showing up and like being at a place over and over again, which like seems like so small, but it actually meant something.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, it's an illusion.
Oh my gosh.
But to add on to that, I love that because I like, obviously the small things are important because we've been called to be kind and I do like try to hold a door open or something like that. But I do find that I often like get stuck in this pattern of like just doing nice things so that it'll like speak for myself and I won't have to have like that awkward conversation. Mm-hmm. But I find a lot of times, like if I'm just doing the actions of being nice, it's because I really like have a fear of being rejected or of not fully articulating what I'm wanting to and like messing up. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, but that's even a good point. Cause like, how do you guys like make that transition from like, oh, we're just having like casual conversation and how am I going to slide the old guy Jesus in here? Like, what does that look like to make that transition?
Yeah. Honestly, the pandemic, that's the one thing that's like been so helpful with starting a conversation.
Yeah. People like, are hungry.
Yeah.
To have a conversation right. In the first place.
And like, how has COVID been for you? And like a lot of times, unfortunately, death is the outcome for a lot of people. They've just been affected by it through family members. Mm-hmm. And then just asking them like, how have they been able to get through that? Or like, I'll even sometimes like ask for advice from them and then I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And they're like, yeah. And like, this has been something that's really helped me. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them about Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Sneaky. Love it.
I even think like in like those acts of like hospitality or just being consistent, being around people, it's like, sorry, that's my phone.
I literally said, hey guys, make sure you silence your phones.
I just fidget a lot. Oops. Anyways, those like acts of hospitality and just like those conversation starters, it's like a cool, like, I mean, even like asking like your hobbies, like, I mean, if I like when I'm asked what my hobbies are, like, honestly, like I try to include something about, oh, I'm in ministry or, yeah. Oh, I love Jesus or I read scripture or whatever. Just like, I mean, cause like it is one of the main things that like make me. So I think like even bringing that up is like a cool, like, oh, you do that. Like maybe they'll ask about it or you can ask them like, do you do anything similar to this or like go to church or anything? So, I mean, it's hard to, if I'm honest, I don't like talking to people. I have social anxiety a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So like going up and introducing myself, but I guess like trying to insert small ways to bring up those conversations and even like pray that they bring it up.
Yeah.
Is kind of like a part of it. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's also like having CSF on campus makes it easier because like people are always going to be like, oh, like, what are you involved in? And like the first thing you could say is like, oh, CSF. And then a lot of the times people are going to be like, oh, that one place that like does the luau party. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but like, there's so much more than that. I feel like just like saying what you're involved in can open a door.
Yeah.
Can I just add a quick thing? Mm-hmm. It's like super practical, but I did this when I worked at Chick-fil-A. Hey, yo.
I loved working at Chick-fil-A. Me and Claire, both of us.
Oh, it was so good. Such a good mission.
I also worked
there. You worked at Chick-fil-A?
No way.
Oh my gosh, Warren,
your own person. That's ridiculous.
Oh. I'm pretty sure I worked there first. I'm older than you.
When did you start?
2015 to 2018.
I started in 2014.
Oh, I'm so upset.
I don't even remember when I did it. It was 2018.
I pushed carts at Sam's Club.
Yo, Sam's over at Costco. I take that to my grave.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. Me too. That's so true.
So, but I'll like ask these just a few questions randomly. And I'll be like, hey, like, can I ask you like some questions? And usually never. They're like, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay. I'm like, sure. And like, what's like the first thing that pops up into your head when you think of the word God? And then they'll tell me, and like, okay, now what about like when you hear the name Jesus, what comes to your head? And then I'll say, what pops up into your head when you think of church? And usually, sadly, a lot of people have been burned by the church to where that will just like open a floodgate. And then they'll just be like, this and this and this happened and this happened. And that's why like I never go to church anymore. And I see that Austin, like when people are passionate about something you ask about, they're naturally going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's passionate, like in a bad way that you particularly don't love, they're still passionate. And that really opens the door for conversation.
That is really, really good.
So it's like getting up the courage to be like, can I ask you a question? But if you're not offending them, honestly, then you're not telling the truth. So
yeah, that's what Jesus did. I mean, he offended so many people with the gospel, with the truth. Yeah. And so like at some point, like we do have to make that switch from being like, oh yeah, it's fine, nice guy approach, to being like, and also like, here's the truth. Like literally this morning, I talked about this on the podcast when I was talking with Mike about Shift Curriculum, which that comes out tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about evangelism and talking about the crucifixion, and David Houseconnect told this story one time of this guy who literally asked, like, do you hate me? And he was like, no, like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, if you think that this is like the way to salvation, if you think that this is real, if you think that this is the truth, then like, why haven't you told me about it? And it's like, wow, like that is so true. Like, if I think that this is the only way, like if Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, then that means that like, I gotta be telling people about that. Like that is real stuff. So I don't know. That just like really stuck with me when I heard it. And it like really pushed me to like investigate the ways that I could like reach out to people and tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
One of the things that like stuck out from like Fred tonight is bringing up, I think it's 1 Kings 7, where it's just like those guys were like, we have this good news. Like, oh gosh, I don't remember it. I wrote it down. We have this good news and we're not telling others about it. And then they just went and did it. So like, even like the flip side of like the whole, do you hate me? And it's also like, we have like the best news possible.
Yeah.
And like, we can be, there's times like, I feel like, especially when we can become joyed about that, but like, what's like, how, I don't know, this question I've been wrestling with is like, how can I continue to feel this joy and then like feel spurred on to just be like, bring that to people? Because like, if I have this great news, I don't want to keep that to myself.
Yeah.
Like if I don't know, there's something practical or that just really happens, is like I scored a goal in an indoor game and I played goalkeeper and like I scored a goal and my girlfriend was there. I was like, the first thing I want to do is I wanted to tell her.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I have great news and I want to tell people about it. So I just think that's like, yeah, just the joy of it. Yeah. Wanting to can spur evangelism.
Yeah. Even like the simplicity of that, you know? Yeah.
So I had this thought earlier this week, but like how we treat faith like an oxymoron, like two opposite things. Like, so if faith is supposed to be something we share, then why are we so selfish and keeping it to ourselves when it's like an individual thing. So like salvation is individual, but we're supposed to share it. Mm-hmm. So like, what has made us so selfish to be like, oh, like I've been given this thing to share, but like, like I'm just going to keep it to myself and not actually do what it's the transformation that happens in it.
Mm-hmm. I think like, even like going back to like with Fred's thing, like with, it's like, it's just me, like there's not enough people. Like, I feel like we can almost feel like when we talk about salvation, it's like my salvation, Like when in reality, it's like, and not only like the church is salvation, like we have like the church as a whole, like we're together, bound in brothers, sisters in Christ with like millions and probably more than millions throughout history. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, we're like, we get so mixed up in the fact that like we're alone in this. And I feel like when we make it simply about our salvation, like we make it much like smaller. And I think it does become fearful and we can become selfish because like, gosh, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore.
But what you're saying is true. Like what it's all up to us is the fear that we have, yeah. Like the lie that we're believing is that it's all up to us. And that means that we're putting all the focus on ourselves. But this even reminds me of what Jared was saying in the panel of the commandment when Jesus was asked, like, what's the greatest commandment? He literally said, like, love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. He never even mentioned you.
Yeah. And I think the order of that is super important. Like Jesus said, like, this is the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Mm-hmm. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think like pretty much everybody on the panel tonight talked about the importance of loving Jesus, loving God first, mm-hmm. because that's mm-hmm. what everything's going to flow out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really just as simple as that of like evangelism is like someone acknowledging that God has worked in their life and sharing that with other people, whether it is opening a door or like having a conversation in the 90 or the student center. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to love Jesus to love like Jesus, yeah. and you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Does anyone have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the class?
I do. I don't want to like leave a conversation about evangelism without talking about like prayer. Like, I think one of the biggest things for me that like helped me become more bold to like step out in these conversations and reach out is just like prayer. And I feel like the two main ways that I've personally learned to do that is like praying for like, hey God, I'm on this walk, or like I'm in the store, I'm at the mall, wherever it might be. Like, is there anyone like I should like talk to? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just an easy way. And like, I mean, you may randomly like look at someone's shirt and notice it more than other people. And I feel like, I mean, in my, like, I used to see like a small, like nudges from the spirit to like, maybe I should go talk to him or compliment him. And maybe this leads to a conversation, or even just like continue prayer. Like, I mean, prayer is going to overcome like your social anxiety. And I've seen that and mm-hmm. I've like know that. And I just think like praying for just like, God, give me boldness. Let me step out. And who cares if I maybe just like stumble my words or whatever it might be, but let me just like have this conversation so I can present the gospel however you want me to present it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I think my sophomore year, I just like so struggled with fear. Like I was just like constantly afraid that like of what people were thinking of me and like what they were even like, just like thinking about me, like while I'm talking, I just, everything, social anxiety for sure. And I always have a word of the year, and that year my word of the year was stillness. And so the Lord was like, I just really want you to be in the stillness with me. Like just be with me and let me be with you. And like, let's just be together. And I was like, okay, great. And then like halfway through the year or a couple months into the year, the Lord was like, I actually have another word to add on to your word of the year. And it's fearless. And I know you don't feel fearless right now, but like, it's when you're in the stillness with me that you become fearless. And so like for the whole entire year, my sophomore year, it was like stillness and fearless. Like I'm in the stillness, so he makes me fearless. And like, I knew that he would come through in that way. And so I just like believed it and lived my life in a fearless way because I knew he was going to do what he said he was going to do. So that was my thing. Moving the mic over to Jared.
Yeah. I think one thing that I would leave off with is like, if you are a believer in Christ and you have accepted Christ into your life, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Like, yes, I think amen. You literally can't say that enough. Like the advocate is in you. Like the Holy Spirit is in you. And yeah. like, if you invite the Holy Spirit into, like your, like the Holy Spirit's presence into where you are, like the Holy Spirit will help you, like talk to people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know that can be really hard of like, well, what if I don't know the words to say? Like the Holy Spirit can help you with that.
So good. We talk about this at church or Commonwealth or whatever, but prayers that God won't say no to, and prayers like, Lord, help me to just be closer to you. Mm-hmm. Like, let me know what it's like to be so saturated in you that I don't even see this world around me. Mm-hmm. Like, God's not gonna be like, oh no, sorry. Like, me.
not gonna be able to answer that one.
Yeah. Like, God longs for those prayers more than we do. Mm-hmm. And so just praying for that. And even if your heart isn't there, like, Lord, let my heart get there to where I want intimacy with you. Mm-hmm. And just going back to, like, Jesus wasn't just a nice guy. If he were, then there'd be no need for his crucifixion and his resurrection. Because of that, he is Messiah. Mm. And once that, like, clicks in your heart, it did for me at least, like, when that clicked in my heart and I was like, I need the Lord, it really showed in my actions then. And I just couldn't stop asking questions and, like, talking to people about him, truly.
That is so good. Dang, well, this has been such a fruitful conversation. I have absolutely loved every single part of it. All of us laughing so freaking much. But honestly, like, this is just such a great example of how, like, you don't have to be on staff to be able to give people advice on how to live their life for the Lord. Also, like, as a student, like, you don't have to seek out a staff member. Like, there are so many people within our ministry, just like Claire and Jared, who are students and who are living their life for the Lord, and they have wisdom to share with you. And so, like, ask your friends how they know Jesus. I think a lot of times we miss out on that opportunity to ask our friends about their, like, walk with the Lord, because, like, we're just a part of their life every single day that it's like, oh, I know what's going on. But a lot of times you don't. And so, like, let this even be an encouragement to, like, talk with your friends about how you guys can evangelize together. So
yeah. Beat me if you want to reach me.
That's so good. That's so good.
As High School Musical once put it, we're all in this together.
That is good. And that is what we're ending this whole entire thing on. For sure.
I'm so sorry. It's really limited to the
mic. The Be Curious title last. So
yes, like, Be Curious. That was our theme for kickoff week this past year. Oh. And so, like, asking questions, being curious about people, that is the best way to evangelize. Anyway, well, thanks, Landon, for letting me take over the podcast. I definitely went longer than I was supposed to. I invited more people than I was supposed to, but I'd say we had a pretty good time.
There's always grace if he is mad, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Everyone, just pray for me.
Ta-ta.
We'll see you guys later.